All right, we are back. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So remember this about Jerome Powell, head of the Fed, the chair. From 97 through 2005, Powell was a partner at the Carlyle Group. So you're head of your Federal Reserve when 9/11 happened, and Daddy Bush and all the gang were having breakfast there. Powell was a partner at the Carlyle Group. And remember this, law degree from Jesuit Georgetown University in 1979. While at Georgetown, he was editor-in-chief of the Georgetown Law Journal, way up there in the Jesuit circles. Okay, so the Federal Reserve is set to bring CBDCs to the U.S. We the people must reject this at all costs. The U.S. Federal Reserve has tightened the window for the launch of its FedNow instant payments platform to between May and July of 2023, CoinDesk reported. The instant payment service is a step towards the eventual rollout of the CBDC. With a CBDC, citizens lose 100% of their financial freedom to the government and central bank. Hence, you see this crackdown, the hiring of these IRS agents, the massive explosion of the IRS's budget. You see, this is institution of a digitalized totalitarian slave state. Chair of the Fed, Jerome H. Powell, said rapid changes, and I played this right out of his mouth some weeks back, are taking place in the global monetary system that may affect the international role of the dollar. A U.S. central bank digital currency is being examined to help the U.S. dollar's standing. Okay, according to a press release, FedNow will be open to financial institutions of any size, allowing them to facilitate instant payments for consumers and businesses, giving customers immediate full access to funds. Yeah, sure, until you want all cash. The platform is currently in pilot phase with more than 120 organizations participating, including lender, U.S. bank, and payment processor Alacrity Payments among them. Initially announced in August 2020 by then Fed Governor Lael Brainard, the FedNow platform is seen as a stepping stone to a central bank, an eventual central bank digital currency. Oh boy, you know, we're going, you know, real crazy. Get clip four ready, Mr. Producer. And this is Justin Trudeau, Justine Castro. Now you got this new conservative guy. Everybody's, you know, jumping on his bandwagon and so forth. And I'm hearing strange rumblings about this guy. He's talking smack on all these World Economic Forum, not going to blah 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 his government. And then somebody says that the guy running his campaign is World Economic Forum. I'm not sure. I heard that somewhere on a radio broadcast or something of this nature. Another controlled opposition, another Judas goat, we'll see. But let's listen to Trudeau, Castro, threatening people to get the next round of boosters so you can keep your Bluetooth MAC address up and running, your surveillance, your internet of bodies operating properly for the social credit score and the rest of it. Go ahead and roll clip four.
Things to remember is COVID's not done with us yet. We might want to be done with it, but it's still around. And yes, we have a lot more tools, a lot more understanding, a lot more knowledge on how to keep ourselves and our loved ones safe that have allowed us to get back to regular life in a lot of ways for a whole bunch of people. But we also know that as winter comes and as people get pushed back indoors, there is a real risk of another serious wave of COVID. One of the best things we can do to prevent that wave, prevent the pressure on our healthcare system, prevent provinces from having to take decisions around restrictions and mandates, is to ensure that everyone is up to date in their vaccinations. The recommendation is, you know, you should be up to date in your vaccinations if you have had a dose within 6 months. Everyone who has been a while since their vaccination, today's vaccination, should look at the fact that we have new vaccines coming out this month that are tailored against Omicron, that will provide better protection, and everyone should get out and get vaccinated. If we are able to hit that 80, 85, 90% of Canadians up to date in their vaccinations, we'll have a much better winter with much less need for the kinds of restrictions and rules that were so problematic for everyone over the past years. But every step of the way, government's responsibility is to keep people safe, to prevent our healthcare systems from getting overwhelmed. And that's where individuals choosing to make sure they're up to date in their vaccinations with these new vaccines is going to help us all.
Yeah, little tyrant. Little cheesy tyrant. You can really hear the femininity in his voice. Okay? Probably got his wife's probably a beard of some sort. Yeah, this monkeypox czar that Biden picks, this gay guy with the pentagrams, upside down pentagrams all over him, and every. I mean, you know, you got the drag queens sitting on the nuclear waste, and then you got the Rachel Levine guy. You know, I mean. They're just running this whole demoralization operations on us constantly. John Podesta. I mean, I before his Wikipedia got cleaned up, he was studying to be a Jesuit priest. And if you go way back in the Comet ping pong days, I played some recordings of alleged recordings, so quite possibly could have been him in that place. I'm your father, and real weird, creepy stuff. Old Perv Desta, the brothers, and now he's going to be the guy in charge of spending for climate and energy. So he gets brought back out of hiding, and some of the Q people are saying that when you get into the early Q post, they're saying that basically these people are being brought back into the limelight for them all to be arrested. You know, they're always thinking of a way to kind of give themselves an out that say, well, it just hasn't happened yet. It's 5 years later, and the first couple Q posts were talking about when Hillary was going to be arrested, and then some of them talk about Podesta being arrested. And so, you're waiting a long time here, and the country's on fire, the border's wide open, and everything else. And then these people were like, well, the Patriots are in control. It's just a real crazy – I mean, for the Patriots to be in control after all of this – some people are like, we're so close to beating them. Alex Jones was saying that. We're so close to beating them. And like, look, I hope that's true. I hope that there is such a thing as, patriots embedded some all over the system that are waiting to, jump in and save the day and all that. I still have a small hope in me, but I have to say I'm very of late. I'm in some deep struggles right now with everything, and just watching the people being victimized, these weaponized street level hood rats and thugs, what they're doing to the to the functioning and normal population is just off the charts. And Memphis and all this. I mean, the stuff going on all over the country, the white people being victimized everywhere. Absolutely insane. In really what used to be more the affluent areas, which were much safer, this stuff is this stuff's gotten so insane that it really people are starting to believe that there is nowhere safe in the country unless you're way out in the sticks somewhere where, you know, where these type of people do not tread, so to speak. Ivanka vice presidential rumors floating all over the place. Yael Kushner, Ivanka. So there's all these rumors swirling that Trump's going to name her to be his VP running mate. What a turd that'd be. I mean, they don't realize that her old man is completely hated. And then she's viewed at as a libtard, basically. So that would be suicide for Trump. I don't think the rumors are true. But people are trying to throw that out there as a way to really take the wind out of the sails of some Trump return. Now, I think a lot of people in our circles are to the point where they're ambivalent towards Trump, especially with the warp speed baloney and sticking to the script on these shots. But there's a lot of people that go to these rallies, and they basically view it as there is nobody else. And so that's why they are sticking into the game, into the, you know, the left-right duopoly thing. But they think that Trump really has an underlying altruistic agenda towards the common guy. And so that's why a lot of these people are still going to these rallies, still blah, 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 blah. Joe Scarborough. Jesus would be pro-abortion. This SOB all hooked up with the devil Brzezinski's daughter. This SOB with the dead intern found in his office, he's talking about that Jesus would be pro-choice and pro-abortion. I mean, what a sick creep. What a son of a bitch that would say some crap like that. Let's get clip five ready. And I was listening to this today because I was meaning to listen to it. The Dr. Peter McCullough was on, and they did a special little, like, an hour commercial-free thing with he did with Alex Jones last week. And what's interesting is, I forwarded it to a certain part where it talks about this Stefan Bancel from a certain French conglomerate, and he gets into Jacques Chirac and the setting up of the Wuhan lab, which I found very interesting. And then he ends up being the CEO over at Moderna. So if you would get clip five ready, Mr. Producer, this is Dr. McCullough on with Alex Jones, and I'm going to let this play for a little bit. Go ahead and play that.
And now we have Moderna suing Pfizer, saying basically it's a copy of their shot, just weaker.
Now that's an interesting development. Moderna suing Pfizer. Recall that Stefan Bancel, the billionaire CEO for Moderna, previously was the CEO for bioMérieux. And bioMérieux is the French conglomerate company that Jacques Chirac negotiated with the Chinese to build the biosecurity annex in Wuhan, China. Stefan Bancel orchestrated the construction of the biosecurity lab in Wuhan, China. And then in 2015, he changes from bioMérieux and joins a one-person company in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Moderna. Stefan Bancel joins Moderna.
Do you see long-term planning for this virus that just accidentally shows up?
Well, you know, listen to this. So Bancel then joins Moderna. he starts working with the U.S. National Institutes of Health on the Moderna patent for the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. So within a few days of announcing it's an emergency under former President Trump, Moderna announces we have a vaccine. You don't come up with a vaccine in a few days. This vaccine was in the works for years. And in Peter Bragan's book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, it's a very, very important book. It has over 1,100 citations. In the back is a timeline, Alex, and the timeline has 36 pandemic planning preparedness events that Bragan chronicles starting from 2012. 25 of these have written documents generated, and six of them were filmed. So Bragan outlines the timeline in our book, COVID-19 Courage to Face COVID-19, that I wrote with John League. We actually highlight these developments as well and put it in the context of a story. I recently went on with Steve Bannon on the War Room, and Bannon said, thank goodness that you guys wrote these books and have these citations and the timeline as evidence. And the reason why this is so important, Bannon is going to predict that what looks like a U.S. government operation, Alex, they're going to basically wipe the electronics completely. They are going to basically whitewash this. They are going to rewrite history, that the only way we're going to actually be able to record what happened is in these books, because the electronics, Twitter, Facebook, all the electronic media.
Oh, they're going back and scrubbing everything.
It's going to be scrubbed. So the books and the independent media and the documentaries are going to save us. Otherwise, we're not going to have a historical record.
And what you're saying is, I think, the most important part of this interview, which all of it's bombshell, all of it's admitted. You're totally vindicated. We're vindicated. And it's not about tooting our horn, but it's about we were faithful. We were right. We stuck our necks out. We were correct. We need to speak to that so people understand the good guys are being censored. We're still being attacked. He's being sued. I'm being sued. Which is fine, because we're in the arena here, but let's speak to the vindication, how big this is.
All right, go ahead and
then
stop it there.
I know you've got a lot of points.
So, yeah, these guys with the French government building, Jacques Chirac, this dirtbag. And I remember one of my first memories of Chirac is it burned in my mind that, and this was kind of like I was kind of getting my political, I guess, interest sparked back up. Do any of you guys remember this big nuclear test that the French did down on some French atoll down in the Pacific? And the whole world was like, don't do it, because they blew a nuke down in the ocean. And everybody was like, don't do it, don't do it. And then this SOB Chirac, he was in power when it happened. The French government freaking popped off a freaking bomb, if you don't believe in nukes. Okay, then it was a massive bomb down there underwater at this French atoll. But I still remember this way, way back, and I was pissed. I was like, they're going to blow this thing down under there with all the sea life and everything else testing this crap. Absolutely just crazy. But, the whole thing with this guy leaving the big French conglomerate, going to Moderna, and then setting this whole thing up. I mean, there's so many smoking guns. It's just nuts. Let's see. Where did I want to go? Oh yeah, yeah. I wanted to do this since today's 9/11, and I saw this on Before It's News, but this kind of piggybacks on a book that was written in, I want to say, the 1990s, The Star That Astonished the World, and I want to say it was Ernest L. Martin. I'm going off the top of my head, but basically it theorizes that the Bible says that Christ was born right around September 11th, 3 BC, and that's going through the astronomical kind of sequences that were mentioned in the Bible, and then people trace this back, and it's September 11th. So there's a swath of researchers that believe September 11th is actually the birthday of Jesus. And this is why these dark occultists pulled 9/11 on 9/11, okay? Due to the fact that they wanted to do something evil on the birthday of Christ, okay? Now, and I'm just going to kind of jump around in this article a little bit, and this will probably take me a few minutes here, but this is just interesting. And I've been aware of this theory since the early 90s, probably 94-ish, 95-ish. The Star That Astonished the World, you can still find the book anywhere. God has a significant meaning in everything he does, and this does not exclude the birth of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. The subject of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ. And his first coming was prophesied first in the book of Genesis. Then the prophecy of the future coming of Christ became the pole star of the Old Testament. And I'm going to go move on here. So then it gets into the seed of the woman, okay? And this is, of course, the Virgin Mary and that sort of thing. And it gets into, Luke 2:11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The question becomes, when was the today that the angel proclaimed his birth? The book of Revelation gives us critical information in determining the day of the birth of Christ and is so amazingly accurate that we can pinpoint the birth of Christ to a specific day and even that it occurred sometimes within a time frame of 81 minutes during that day. And this is Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Okay? And then it gets into the signs of the zodiac and so forth and so on. And then it gets into Virgo, the constellation Virgo. Of course, we're in this constellation right here now, okay? Clothing with the sun, approximately a 21-day period during any given year in the year 3 BC, which we later show by other celestial events in the heavens to be the year of the birth of Christ. The sun was in this position from August 27th through September 15th. The revelation also declares that the moon was under her feet. With these two specific details, we can pinpoint the birth of Christ very precisely. In 3 BC, the sun and the moon in Virgo occurred only one day, and that was September 11th. The configuration of the sun and the moon was visible in Palestine between sunset and moonset, this twilight period being called the night of the Bible on September 11, 3 BC, and it gets into the sunset and all this stuff. But then it gets into when it talks about Jupiter and Regulus, okay? So Jupiter and Regulus on September 11, 3 BC could be seen approaching in conjunction before dawn. And it gets into, you know, a lot of other kind of interesting stuff, but I figured I would throw that in there due to the fact that it is September 11th and this other very horrible event happened, 2004 years later. And then some people say in the Greek Jesus's name, the gematria is 888. That would be 24, so it's another kind of evil kind of attempted overwrite of this birthday and so forth. I figured I would throw that out there because this has been around for quite a while in kind of Bible prophecy circles of September 11th being a birth date of the Messiah. Okay, now This is in Israel 365 News. I thought this one was pretty funny, and it kind of shows the domination of, let's just say, media, even going over here into Marvel. Marvel's latest movie features Israel-themed superhero. So on Saturday, it was announced at Marvel's D23 Expo that the fourth Captain America movie, titled New World Order, isn't that interesting, is expected to hit theaters May 3rd, 2024, and will include the character Sabra, played by Israeli actress Shira Haas. This will be the first time that an Israeli superhero will appear in a Hollywood movie. Oh, really? What, Superman's not Israeli? Anyway, the character first appeared in Marvel Comics in 1980. Her powers include super strength and stamina, and her costume often incorporates the Israel flag and the Star of David, a.k.a. Remfan. Sabra, real name Ruth Bat Seraph, comes from Seraphim, you see. That's the name of the character, was born near Jerusalem, was raised on a special kibbutz run by the Israeli government along with her family. After her mutant power was manifested, Ruth was the first superhuman agent created to serve the Mossad. As a cover, she was also a policewoman in the Israeli police forces of Tel Aviv. So I think what's interesting, her name is Ruth, okay? And then you also got Seraph, is the character's supposed real name in the comic, Ruth and Seraph. I think that's interesting. And we're coming up on break, but, you know, I was at the bar where me and my dad used to hang out, and I still talk to people up there and so forth. It's kind of like a family. It was a replay of Ellen's final show, Ellen DeGeneres, right? And I noticed that Jennifer Aniston and then the singer, whatever you want to call her, Pink, were both guests. And then I looked it up today. I was like, well, who are all the guests? So you had Pink, Jennifer Aniston, and Billie Eilish. Those were the three guests on Ellen's final show. And all three of these guests, there have been people doing kind of like what you would call transvestigations into them, whether they were actually biological males or castratos, meaning they were born male but then basically sacrificed up to be what the Indians call hijras, or like temple prostitutes. So they're actually got boy DNA, but they were, let's just say, made up surgically at the rest to be women. And so I found that fascinating on Ellen DeGeneres' last show, which I was just happened to be a replay was on, because I thought it was actually live, and I looked it up, and that was back in May, that she had three questionable suspect, what you could call non-binaries, or trannies, whatever you want to call them, hijras, castratos, whatever word you want to use, on her last show. I thought that was pretty fascinating. All right, we'll see you guys on the other side. I'm bringing flowers to my sweetheart. Looking for a stone with your name.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my ease off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Easeoff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S. Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Erie Radio and Republic Broadcasting Network. So, this freak show, Gavin McGinnis, founder of the Proud Boys, Vice Magazine, been playing like he's a, you know, nationalist kind of patriotic type dude for the last number of years. Big pro-Trump, was, you know, he was around with Alex Jones and all them and talking about, yeah, it's time to party, we won. And Alex Jones, to his credit, Alex Jones was like, the fight's just beginning. He's like, I'm more sad in a way due to the fact that I know what's coming. but this was on Daily Stormer. Unfunny rat scum. Gavin McInnes admits to hoaxing FBI arrest. So let's see. Watching his call, where he explains that it was a prank, that he'd been arrested. I was appalled by the lack of funniness and blah 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 blah. I'm also disgusted and appalled by this prank, which does not have a punchline. He claims he did it because he wanted media attention, then claims he got media attention. I don't think he got much media attention, but he will. Aside from this not being funny at all, there's literally no joke. This is going to make it easier for the media to shill for the government. In the future, the feds are going to have people disappear, and the media will say, well, this is like that Gavin McInnes hoax. I would go so far as to suggest the feds told him to do this, though he's saying he did it for media attention and he's enough of a failed non-entity that he could well be just acting out in a tantrum. Gavin McInnes is a moron and a pathetic loser who feels like people should be paying attention to him. The reason no one pays attention to him is that he sucks and he isn't funny. I'm not going to forget this. Gavin got his media attention, and he will now pay for that by having a lot more enemies. He's helping the feds, whether the feds told him to do it or he's just so inadequate that he needs that attention. And he's like, I've hated this fat drunk for years. Nothing he's ever did was funny. The guy stuck a dildo up his butt on his stream. He says people are angry at him for the hoax. Well, people are going to stay mad. Trump is raided. Brandon gives the Bloody Thursday speech, and this jerk thinks it's all fun and games, and I used a different word. If he's not already working with the feds, he's going to end up in a boy wolf sheep position where no one gives a crap when he gets swooped and everyone thinks he's lying. And to be clear, I don't think the problem is that he made people worry about him. The problem is, firstly, that it wasn't funny, and secondly, that he's trivializing the fact that the feds are coming down harder on America and making their job easier for them. Gavin McInnes hates America, and he should be deported back to Canada to face the charges for terrorism. He's not from this country, and he hates America. The country owes him nothing. but just think about, you know, he does this right in the midst of when you've got all this other garbage going on. You know, just absolutely horrible timing that, you know, you would have something like that going on. I saw this one floating around, and I don't know if this has any veracity or not. This is on Involve again. Criminal deep state. Pentagon officials caught telling military, their underlings, I guess you would, to disobey Trump as they prepare for his second term. Former Pentagon officials, including the highest-ranking officials, are openly and actively urging military personnel to defy President Trump if and when he wins in 2024. That's right. Former Pentagon officials are currently urging the military to oppose Trump because they're so frightened that he will win a second term. First off, don't you think that sounds like an insurrection? Well, you know, I don't know if this is I don't know if any of this has any truth to it, but in an ominous letter, open letter published on wonky national security site War on the Rocks Tuesday, 8 former secretaries of defense and 5 former chairmen of the Joint Chiefs warned of what they call an exceptionally challenging civil and military environment developing in the United States that apparently concerned them enough to publish their thoughts ahead of November's consequential midterms. I mean, you, regardless of whether you believe Trump is a complete jerk or not, you have to. We all know that the predominantly left-leaning embedded bureaucracy in D.C. was completely at war against him. You know, everybody kind of gets that. Now, I was listening to Rents and this Dr. Bregan. And McCullough mentioned him. He's into it with Dr. Robert Malone. And it's all over this, a lot of it's over this psychotherapist, Matthias DeSmet. And this is, he's buddy-buddy, him and Malone. And basically, this DeSmet guy knew one of his own patients was an unrecognized mass murderer and then let him go without reporting him because thought his psychotherapy had cured him for life. The predator had been killing since he was 22 and was an older man with a lifetime of multiple murders when he saw Desmet in therapy. You know, Desmet, the last name's kind of interesting. One of the most famous Jesuits, Pierre Desmet, big here in the Midwest, got a very, very interesting history for those that research the Jesuits, Pierre Desmet. There's schools and everything named after him. But anyway, we've been criticizing Desmet and his chief supporter, the same Dr. Robert Malone, for promoting the concept of mass formation and mass psychosis, which blames the victims of totalitarianism. The totalitarian actions in this case are the oppressive COVID-19 policies and practices. The mass psychosis concept not only sees the masses or the people as originating totalitarianism mostly on their own, but the concept also calls for letting off those who are pulling the strings behind the scenes on a global scale. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but it's interesting. But if you want to dig further into it, you can get into Breggin.com, Breggin.com, and they really kind of were going after Dr. Robert Malone as a deep state plant steam valve type of guy. And I would not be surprised. You know, this guy, they're talking about this guy getting $10 billion of research grants and all of this stuff. So, there seems to be, you know, like a big kind of dust up here between these doctors. And here's just some of the kind of headlines. Matthias Desmet, mass hypnosis expert or Trojan horse, the full story. The Desmet-Malone ideology of mass psychosis blames the citizens and not the global predators. And it gets into, you know, a lot of this interesting kind of psychosocial theory here, I guess, if you will. Let's see. I wanted to get into some of this. Well, we got some time left. Let's get clip 8 ready. This is just Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he's talking about probably upwards of 80% of people, if they all took D-dimer tests, having microclotting going on. Go ahead and roll clip 8.
With the compelling data showing these injections result in fatal and thromboses, that is blood clots, stroke, heart attack, lost limbs. People have lost both legs, both arms. One woman lost both legs. Why did we not know that? And now that we know it, there's a simple test to see if you have blood clots. It's called the D-dimer test. Well, why has the government not ordered every person who has been vaccinated to have a D-dimer test? That would disclose how many people were at risk and what percentage of people were developing clots, even what we call microclots. That's in the small vessel. Well, we know why, because there were two cardiologists who studied all of their vaccinated patients. And both studies found that over 80% of the patients had a sky-high D-dimer test, indicating that these people had microemboli. Well, when you have a microemboli in your brain or your heart or your kidney, those organs are going to gradually and progressively fail over time and are susceptible to every kind of disease now. And you could at any time have a massive thrombosis, which would result in a devastating stroke. One of the things being seen is a thrombosis of the superior sagittal sinus and transverse sinus in the brain. In 24, well, a total of 30 years of clinical neurosurgery, I may have seen two or three cases. We're now seeing a number of these cases, and they're occurring in young people. Well, the only reason is because of this microemboli and this embolism caused by the insertion of the spike protein from the vaccine and a nanolipid carrier into the wall of the blood vessel. That's been proven now.
All right. So, you know, I was listening to Rents and Erica Kahn talking about they were really going in on this whole shedding and how pervasive it is and how massive it is and how let's just say, easily transmissible between people, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. And I really want to get myself like a D-dimer test and have my blood looked at and everything else due to the fact of how – and they could have been sensational on it. I don't know. That's the point. All of us that haven't taken these injections, but we are around people in our daily lives, family and co-workers and all the rest of this crap, you know, how much of this has worked its way into our bodies? You know, you fist bump somebody, or you do a friendly hug with somebody, a family member, and all this, you know, is this getting into us, even though they took these things a long, long time ago? You know, the way some of these doctors talk, it's like, well, they're shedding between you and them. It'd be really, you know, in close proximity of the jab, and then that stuff kind of falls off a cliff unless they keep getting themselves hit. So I really, you know, wonder about, okay, how long is a person that's taken 2-3 jabs, how long are they able to shed, let's say, onto a person who hasn't taken these vaccines, well, shots, genetic sabotage injections, whatever you want to call it. Another massive one that's broke out this week is this Brave New World credit card companies to use special code to track gun purchases, right? So, you know, you had Eric Adams and other elected officials and state pension fund trustees requesting that major credit card companies implement a weapon code for the purchase of firearms and ammo. So they're asking American Express, MasterCard, and Visa to make 4-digit merchant category codes, MCCs, like the ones for other retail categories to better identify and report suspicious behaviors, such as large purchases of firearms. I would say any purchases of firearms or ammunition. This goes back to the cash concept, folks. Remember the whole thing with, oh, I'm never going to buy anything firearm-related ever again with a card. I'm going in there with Benjamin as long as I can use them. Never buy anything else for the rest of your life with a card. If as long as we got this cash, use it on that stuff. All right. And the gun store guys will be all probably happy as well. All right. And just think, they might have to run a check through the NICS system on you, but if you use cash, are they going to know what you bought? Especially with ammo. I mean, gosh. You know, this is going crazy. Let's get clip 6 ready, Mr. Producer. This is a little excerpt I'm going to be play out of the movie Ring of Power 2, The Zion King. Okay, so Ring of Power 1, about 5 hours. This one's called Ring of Power 2, and I'm sure most of you or many of you have seen it. But with the death of the queen, okay, and the coronation of old Charles at 73 years old, I would definitely watch this movie again because it gets into Diana and who she really might be, a goldsmith just like Kate Middleton, and it gets into the possibility of Prince William having his DNA scraped from the Shroud of Turin, and is the embryo placed into Diana, and Prince William being the Antichrist, and this sort of thing. And they predicted he would have been coronated in 2015 when he was 33. But now he's 40, which is in Islamic and biblical circles is like, you're really a man at 40. You've reached, you know, kind of a completion stage in your manhood. And so this is kind of interesting. Let's go ahead and roll a little bit of clip 6.
In her 50s, who is Princess Diana and how did she get mixed up with the world's most heartless, power-crazed inbreds? Officially, Diana's father was the 8th Earl John Spencer. He was a descendant of the 5th Earl John Spencer, who was a groom of the stool. What, pray tell, is a groom of the stool? A groom of the stool is responsible for stools, the kind you sit on and the kind you expel. In other words, a groom of the stool wipes royal bottoms. The 5th Earl John Spencer wiped the ass of His Highness the Prince of Wales from 1862 to 1866.
And we've done deep research on this. They still have their butts wiped for them. Now, if you don't believe me, you Google groom of the stool. You cannot make this up. You will be reading mainstream university websites, mainstream news articles. It's called the groom of the stool. And a British lord follows the queen or king, depending on what it is around, follows them around, and they set up in this big cabinet, and they have to fly it around with her. This has been on the news. That's why they fly it around. They claim they stopped it in 1906, but deeper research shows they're just very quiet about it, and millions of pounds are spent a year to move this portable toilet around because it's got to be big enough. She goes up on a throne and craps. I'm sorry. This is real, folks. I'm not groom of the stool. Google it. And they wipe her fat butt.
Would Charles, who is today's Prince of Wales, marry and mix his family's precious royal blood with Diana if she was from a bloodline of lowly asswipers? Of course not. According to the New York Times best-selling author Tina Brown, Sir James Goldsmith is Diana's real father. He had a long-term affair with Diana's mother during her marriage to Earl John Spencer. Multiple news sources maintain that James Goldsmith and Diana's mother Frances were lovers when Diana was conceived. Diana's mother was deeply unhappy in her marriage to Earl John Spencer, who drank heavily and acted beastly towards her. She finally divorced him and remarried in 1969. What kind of a man was James Goldsmith, the alleged real father of Princess Diana? Goldsmith was a Jewish bankster and one of the 20 wealthiest men in the world. Despite his criminal money laundering and bankruptcy schemes, he was never charged with anything. Why? Because Goldsmith was a ruthlessly vulgar man who was above the law.
Well, people are upset by vulgarity. And vulgarity is to some degree a sign of vigor. It means that new people coming from nowhere are making it. It's the old American dream. Anybody can become a millionaire. So if we want change, if we want vigor, we're going to have vulgarity. It's one of the things which irritates, but which is necessary.
James Goldsmith's ancestors were neighbors of the Rothschild banksters in Frankfurt, Germany. The Goldsmith and Rothschild families intermarried. Princess Diana shared a striking family resemblance to James Goldsmith's three children, Zach, Ben, and Jemima. They are allegedly Diana's half-brothers and sister. Diana most closely resembles Zach Goldsmith. How close are the Goldsmiths to the Rothschilds nowadays?
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
In 2003, Diana's alleged half-brother, Ben Goldsmith, married Kate Rothschild.
That's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill. But your love won't pay my bills. I want money.
Diana's other alleged half-brother, Zach Goldsmith, is a wealthy British MP who inherited $600 million from Daddy Goldsmith. He has been living with his mistress, Alice Rothschild. This Rothschild-Goldsmith couple is also expected to marry. Jemima Goldsmith was Princess Diana's very best friend and confidant. A women's weekly magazine called New Idea Australia created a furor in Britain when it published a story about Jemima and Diana being sisters. The magazine was quoted as saying that the sister secret has been known within British aristocratic circles for 40 years. News reports that both Diana and Jemima were fathered by billionaire tycoon Sir James Goldsmith were widely circulated all over Australia and Britain. It is a well-known fact that during Diana's unhappy marriage to Charles, she sought comfort not from the Spencers, but from her surrogate family, the Goldsmiths.
Never fading with the sunset when the rain
right, stop it there. And we just got a few minutes left till the end of the broadcast, but Ring of Power 2 The Zion King is definitely worth a watch. Next week, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do the broadcast. I'm just putting that out there, and I'll try to get somebody to fill in for me if I can. If anybody is out there in, on Telegram or anywhere posing as me, putting out statements or anything of this nature, it's not me. I don't have a Telegram channel. I don't have Facebook. I don't have any. I have an old Twitter handle that I haven't been on since about 2018. That's all I have. All right. So anybody else out there that's claiming to put out statements in my name or anything of that nature, to call them out as liars, because that's not me. Just wanted to put that out there just in case. Just kind of weird things going on right now. So firearms purchases. Clinton appointed federal judge bars Arizona officials enforcing a new law. How can a judge bar people from enforcing a law from the legislature? This is where we're at. We're in la la land. Okay. Two women followers of an Atlanta cult charged murder and kidnapping. And I just saw this one floating around. So what's crazy is, the cult is the University of Cosmic Intelligence down there near Atlanta, I guess. The group's leader, Rashad Jamal White, commonly also known as Rashad Jamal, is an Atlanta area social media influencer, rapper, and guru whose teachings mix New Age mysticism, polygamy, and Afrocentric and Black nationalist ideas. And they believe that they are demigods descended from aliens. Adherents refer to themselves as gods and goddesses. You know, you got a lot of these, these 5%er cults, the Nation of Islam, and all these offshoots, the 5% Nation of Gods and Earths, who Jay-Z is and been connected to, wearing their and so forth. A lot of kooky stuff out here with the Black Israelites and so forth, and they put a lot of stuff in people's heads, and now we're reaping the whirlwind of it with all this violence. And so we'll see what happens next week. I'll try to have somebody fill in if I can't make it. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Some may question my line of work, but I've got a family and I feed them all the dead. There's some work all over this town. You need the stomach full. There's some folks who pay my skills I'm knowing for.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.